Alrighty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Ravis Vasquez is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes from now. He'll be live at the National Championship game. He's doing the Spanish call for Westwood One coming up later this evening. That game starts at 8:50 p.m. Eastern time. So I had to get up this morning like 4:30 or 5, something like that, to get back on the plane to fly back to our New York City studios from San Antonio, where I was there. Since Wednesday, went to the final four games on Saturday, did MC the NABC conference champion, or the coaches championship breakfast yesterday. So appreciate them for having me on out there. It was wonderful getting to meet so many of the great coaches amongst college basketball. But I thought to myself on the plane, right, in sports, duh, do a talk show host, duh, know that we're talking about the national championship game. But sometimes when you're so tired, you just don't think correctly. And I'm on the plane and I go, oh, it's great. I'll be able to get to the studio, do the show, and then go to sleep. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, Zach, you're an idiot. You're not going to sleep for 2 hours and then there's a national championship game tonight. So I'll go to sleep late tonight, I guess, at some point. How did you, because Stu, you had to fly home early Saturday.
Yes.
I was at the game. Even I'll admit, I was a little bit tired, especially with how that game was looking for most of the way with Houston and Duke. And then Duke just gagged the game away and it got really entertaining in the last 90 seconds to 2 minutes. But how are you feeling Saturday night when those games were going on late?
Saturday night was tough because, again, I had the similar flight where I had a 7 a.m. flight, so I got up at like 4:30, probably earlier than I needed to, but...
Still arrives at the airport early, by the way.
I like getting there 2 hours early, no matter, even though I have TSA pre, I still like getting there early. So I had like maybe like 5 hours of sleep. And then I got home, had to watch the Devils, and then I had to watch the Yankees, and then it's like, oh, I had to watch the Final Four. So I was dozing off a little at some points during the Duke, like very little. I had to like keep myself up, but then I'm glad I did because that was a kind of a crazy ending there.
By the way, Samter, you know this. Whenever you travel with someone, and we travel quite a bit, like you always learn something about someone when you travel with them. Stu has one of the most impressive stomachs that I've ever seen. Now, I'm not like actually talking about the look of his stomach.
Definitely not the look.
So I went, what was the name of the barbecue place again?
Pinkerton's.
Pinkerton's. So Stu went to Pinkerton's on Friday, right?
Yes, after the show. Because so like 5:30, close to 6.
Okay, and that's central time. Because I went to the Spurs game. And Stu went to Pinkerton's, which we were told is just like crazy good barbecue. So Stu goes there. Now, it's kind of a lot of just pick and go kind of stuff. So I had a half pound of brisket when I ended up going there, a jalapeno cheese sausage, which was to die for. I had duck and sausage jambalaya, a side of the mac and cheese, and then what was that? Jalapeno cheese rice?
Jalapeno cheese rice, yes.
Yeah, which was just delicious. Excellent. And then like two big pieces of Texas toast, right? So that's what I had. And I also had a little of like whatever their blueberry buckle is or blueberry cake, which is really good. I walked out of there and I took a 2.5 mile walk because I felt just disgusting and fat, even though it was some of the best barbecue that I've had. Not as good as Jack Stack's because those fire kiss wings from Jack Stack's chef's kiss. But that barbecue, especially the brisket, may I say, it was very moist, as the kids would say. It was really, really good brisket. So, Stu, what did you have when you went to Pinkerton's?
It was similar to you. I had the half pound of the brisket.
Okay.
I had a half pound of the pork ribs.
Ooh, they ran out of the ribs.
They were out of the ribs, you told me. Yeah, but those are very good.
An hour wait, by the way, for me.
So mine was like 20 minutes. Yeah. I guess I got lucky with the timing. And then I had the mac and cheese side, the jalapeno cheese rice, and then this is a bottle of soda. I didn't have any of the dessert
or anything.
You
didn't do the dessert?
I did not.
Okay. Now, if that was it, you would just be like, okay, they're enjoying themselves having some barbecue. Stu went to Whataburger afterwards.
Yes, but however, it was after like a 2 mile walk, kind of like you did. I did the river walk one more time.
Yeah, but you ate dinner.
I know, and I also didn't finish the Whataburger. I had some of it. I needed to try it because I'd never had it before, and I don't know when I'm going to be back in Texas.
When in Texas. I'll tell you.
Well, hold on. When in Texas to go to Whataburger?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk about Texas, go to like Go to like a local San Antonio burger joint.
No. That chain.
It's big down there.
Very, very big.
Yeah, but
down
the chain,
there.
You can get it anywhere. So like when in Texas.
Can't get it here.
Yeah, I can't get it here. Stu's right on that. And also,
I don't know when I'm going to Texas again.
Like, tell that to Chris Beard. He won't be very happy with you, if we're just being honest. That's like his favorite place ever. Guy went to a Final Four, and he's celebrating the bus saying, hey, give me a Whataburger and stuff like that. The line for Whataburger, when I got out of the semifinal and then walked back from the Alamo Dome to our hotel, which is about like a 25-minute walk, I was going to go because I was like, Stu, I'm there, you know, I gotta eat it.
Yeah.
The line. I thought the line at Pinkerton's was long. The line at Whataburger was so much longer.
See, when I got there,
I didn't wait.
It was probably like 8 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah.
And there was one person in front of me.
Yeah, that was the traffic, everyone coming out of the game. And then Sunday, everyone was basically either hungover from the night before for the game on Saturday, or they were waiting around for the game on Monday. So that Sunday was my big day of eating, and I don't think it was a great day to do the big day of eating. By the way, how'd your fantasy baseball team do first week? You want to know?
I'm not want to know. I had a rough week.
Stinks.
My team had a bad, very bad week.
So my starting pitching is very good because that's where all my keepers are. I have elite starting pitching, but since I traded all my draft picks last year, my bats are just horrendous. But I was able to get a week one victory. I was able to grind out a victory using the waiver wire. Was able to get the job done, so 1-0. But I think that could be the highlight for Team Scooby-Dooby-Doo this year. But I got to be patient, because last year I was in it, and I was really good, and I was just playing at a sensational level when I shouldn't have been, and I went for it, and I didn't get anything in return. So this year I think I just got to have a kind of a punt year, have a good foundation, and then have all my picks for next year. All righty, I know we got to get to Gravis Vasquez coming up in about 15 minutes from now, so let's get to a little onside offside.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
All righty, Sweet Tooth Stew. What do you got cooking today?
All right, so we expect to see at least two quarterbacks go in the top 10 in Cam and Shador, while Jackson Dart may have snuck his way into the first round. But now a fourth quarterback is banking that he goes day one, as Alabama star Jalen Milroe committed to spending the first round in the green room. Onsides, Offsides, Jalen Milroe will be a late first round pick.
Even if I wasn't going to be a first round pick, but I knew I was like going to go in the second or third, I would even still consider going to the NFL draft just so when you hear your name called, you can walk across the stage. So that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, oh, does Jalen Milroe just not expect to go in the first round? I think it's a ballsy move. I do. Now, I still don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. It's either a tremendous amount of confidence or there's a lot of stuff being said behind the scenes where he has an assurance that he's going to be a first-round pick. But I'm still going to say that he goes in the second round. So Jalen Milroe will be a late first-round pick. I'm going to go offside there.
Offside!
Or maybe he's not thinking his stock is as good as it is, so you get a little sympathy point. So you're sitting there in the green room, and everyone's like, oh, I feel bad for him. Oh, we'll just eventually take him and then maybe have him go, going early in the second round. That could be it, too. I haven't thought about that yet until right now. All right, next question.
Speaking of Shador, the former Colorado star, maybe slipping out of the top five, Vegas now has the Saints, who have the ninth pick, as the betting favorites to land Shador at plus 300. The Giants are next at plus 350, then the Browns at plus 425. And then the Steelers are plus 700.
No Raiders?
No Raiders. Onsides, offsides, Shador will be drafted by the Saints.
I'm going offside. I still think the Giants right now would be my pick to take him at three. I wouldn't rule out the Browns, but I do think the Browns right now are going Travis Hunter. So I would say Cam Ward 1, Travis Hunter 2, and then I do believe Shador Sanders is going to go number 3. So offside.
Offside.
Julio Jones did not play in 2024 after pulling in fewer than 1,000 yards over three seasons between the Eagles, Bucks, and Titans. Now the five-time All-Pro has officially announced his retirement after amassing nearly 14,000 yards and leading the league in yards twice and receptions once. He finishes his career with 16th all-time in yards, 27th in receptions, and 61st in touchdowns. Onsides, offsides, Julio Jones is a no-doubt Hall of Famer.
I think he will be a Hall of Famer, a no-doubt-about-it Hall of Famer. At that position, no siree. Like, they made T.O. wait. Reggie Wayne right now isn't even in the Hall of Fame. You know, Torrey Holt isn't even in the Hall of Fame right now. Hines Ward. All right, Julio Jones has great numbers and was an athletic freak. But no doubt about it, at the wide receiver position, that's where I'm going to disagree on the wording and go offside.
Offside.
Torpedo bats are a hot-button topic, and now your favorite commissioner, Rob Manfred, has come out in favor of the bats, telling the New York Times, quote, "They're absolutely good for baseball. The bats comply with the rules. The players have actually been moving the sweet spot around in the bats for years," end of quote. Onsides, offsides, you actually agree with Manfred?
Yeah, I agree with Rob Manfred, onsides. Next question.
I'm going to pull that.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Vlad,
I'll give him credit where it's due. The torpedo bats I have no problem with. And the pitch clock, I'm a big fan of. So, all right, those are my two nice things I'll say about Rob Manfred. I've reached my quota for the year. Talk to you in 2026.
All right, sticking with baseball, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was considered one of the hot names potentially available via trade this season and free agency this offseason. Well, that was put to bed as today the Jays and Vlad agreed to a massive 14-year, $500 million deal.
Broken by Ken Rosenthal, by the way,
yes.
5 minutes before Jeff Passan. And then
he
Jeff
did.
Passan, who's blocked me on Twitter, is like, sources say that, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has a 14-year, $500 million contract. Yeah, Jeff, I know you have a lot of sources. Your source on this one was Ken Rosenthal, or someone was just late telling you. So how about we give a little credit to Ken Rosenthal, all right? If you didn't block me on Twitter, I wouldn't be saying that probably. I wouldn't give a rat's ass, but geez Louise, Jeff. Come on, what are we doing?
So Vlad Guerrero Jr. will be north of the border until
5 minutes late, passing. 5 minutes late. Speed it up. Let's go. Rapido.
Until 2039. The average salary is $35.7 million a year. Makes Vlad the fifth highest paid position player and the ninth highest paid player overall. Onside, offsides, the Blue Jays overpaid for Vlad.
Absolutely not, offside. I have no problem with this. I know it's a lot of money. I know it's a lot of years. The goal was to keep him. You ended up keeping him. These are baseball contracts. I like what the Blue Jays did. So I'm not going to say that they overpaid for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I'm going offside.
Offside.
Duke suffered an epic collapse on Saturday night, blowing a 6-point lead with 35 seconds left. Player of the year and likely number one pick Cooper Flagg had a forgettable end of the game. He watched Houston steal an inbounds pass from him that cut the lead to one. He also got called for a controversial foul that gave Houston the lead and then missed, of course, the potential game winner. Onsides, offsides, your opinion of Flagg has changed after the game.
Huh. I'm going offside. It was a terrible choke job by him and Duke. But I still think he's a very special player, and I'm not going to let one game define someone, so I'm going offside on that one.
Offside.
The reason I laughed is I thought we had a delayed April Fool's joke. Stephen A. Smith just tweeted out, "Time to stop messing around. Life is great, especially at ESPN/Disney. Hate the thought of being a politician, but sick of this mess, so I'm officially leaving all doors open." Stephen A. Smith, who has once denied saying he would run for president, is now taking the publicity and is saying he's throwing his name in the ring to run for president. So, how about that? You think he still do first take? If Trump could golf, why can't Stephen A. still do first take? Imagine Stephen A. and Vladimir Putin just going at it on the desk of first take with Chris or Mad Dog Russo in the background. Doggy would be moderating the debate. What do we think about the tariffs? Alrighty. Continue.
After making that epic comeback, Houston moved on to the championship game against Florida tonight. Now the SEC and Big 12 tournament champs face off for the national title. Though none of the players on either team is expected to be a lottery pick, and we could just see one or two of these players in the first round. Onsides, offsides, Houston and Florida are the two best teams in college basketball this year.
Florida was playing the best going into this tournament. I'm not taking anything away from Houston. They kept on playing tough, but I look at that game more of, I hate when people do this, I'm saying it, but it's answering the question. I look at that game more of a Duke loss than a Houston win, but if you're a Houston fan, you don't give a rat's ass how you look at it. I still think Duke is one of the best two teams in college basketball. They didn't get the job done. So Houston and Florida, the two best teams in college basketball this year, I'm going offside just because of the way that Duke lost that game.
Offside!
All right, last one here. The Nate Smith Basketball Hall of Fame welcomed some new members this weekend, including Carmelo Anthony and Dwight Howard.
Anthony!
So Melo was a 10-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA, winning one scoring title and finishing top five in the MVP 3 times. While Dwight Howard made 8 All-Star games, 8 All-NBAs, 5 rebound titles, 2 block titles, and 4 top 5 MVP finishes, and 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. On such offsides, Dwight Howard was better than Carmelo Anthony.
I'd rather have the career of Carmelo Anthony than Dwight Howard. Carmelo's a prolific scorer. We remember prolific scorers. I know Dwight Howard was sensational, right, with the slam dunks and the dunk contest and his defensive ability, but I would rather have the career of Carmelo Anthony than Dwight Howard. So Dwight Howard was better than Carmelo Anthony. I'm going offside.
Yeah, I agree with Rob Manfred, onsides.
Was that Belichick? We got Belichick on the show. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Yeah, I agree with Rob Manfred, onsides.
Ugh, that's disgusting. That's gross. Like, well, you got, how you guys just did me dirty like that. Terrible.
Yeah, I agree with Rob Manfred, onsides.
Go to a break. I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to look or talk at you guys. All right, it is Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. We should be joined by Gravis Vasquez in just a bit. Former Maryland star, now does a great job calling a bunch of basketball games for Wesson One Sports. He did the Final Four this past weekend on Saturday, and have the national championship game today. I'll do the Spanish broadcast for Westwood One Sports, so we'll connect with them. Maybe also ask him a little bit about Maryland hoops, too, with how that all ended with Kevin Willard going to Villanova, and then Buzz Williams going to Maryland to replace Kevin Willard. But I still can't believe being in the building on Saturday and seeing how that game played out between Duke and Houston. I basically nailed Florida and Auburn. I said I thought that Florida was going to win by like 4 points or so, and it was going to be a close, grinded out type of game, but eventually that Florida was going to make the plays to go win. And that's what they've been doing all tournament long, right? They didn't play their best up against UConn. They didn't play their best up against Texas Tech, and they found a way to get the job done. But that Duke-Houston game, I'm still buzzing because 14 points with 8 minutes to go, all right, you come on back from that, that's not unheard of. But with 1:15 to play to be up by 7, and then with 34 seconds left to be up by 6, and Duke couldn't find a way to win that game, I'm still stunned. It almost doesn't even feel real. And a man that was on the call doing the Spanish broadcast for Wesson One Sports is the former Maryland star, Gravis Vasquez, who's kind enough to join us right now. Gravis, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
I've been great, man. Thank you for having me.
So let me start you off with Duke and Houston and what we saw on Saturday. You've seen games end, and you know at this time of the year, in crazy ways. I still don't even feel that that's real. I don't even know how to process it still. I'm still speechless about it.
I'm with you. I was there calling the game in Spanish, and I'm like, I just couldn't believe it because I watched Duke's practices previous to the game, obviously throughout the week. And, you know, one of my former rivals in college, Jim Shire, really well prepared, really good coach. So at the game, I was like, they can't get the ball inbound. Like, they just have trouble with the physicality at the end. And they were practicing like M plays game, like plays that you can run at the end of games, and if they pressure then and all that, and all of a sudden, like, they just couldn't find a bucket. It was just so difficult for them, and they dominated the game. At some point, I was saying like, oh, Duke is gonna be tough to win, to beat. And Houston just kept fighting, kept working. You got to give them a lot of credit. They played really physical defense. They hard workers. They willing to do whatever it takes. And you got to give them credit. But unfortunately, at the end, I mean, it was like, what, 3 minutes without a field goal, without a made field goal? I mean, you're not going to be able to win if you're not able to score. And especially if you had the best player on the floor, Cooper Flagg. But also, I don't know if it was like Cooper Flagg got called a foul like over the back. That foul, it was like, at that point, it was like, I don't know whether that, I mean, I'm as physical as Houston is, and the game was, you know, was officiated the right way. I didn't think that was the right call.
So I didn't like the call, to be abundantly clear. And I guess two things could be true, right? We could admit the officiating was bad there in that spot, but I don't think that's why Duke ended up losing the game. You're up 6 with 34 seconds left. You got to close that sucker out.
Well, also the technical foul for Gillis, a guy that with experience, and especially like I was really surprised. Like, people will believe that I hate Duke because I played against you my whole college career. I really love Duke. I love what they do. I love Coach K. I respect Coach K. And obviously, my relationship with Jump Shire is unbelievable. And I feel bad because he did everything he could possibly do to win the game. But at the end of the day, he's not a player. Like, the players couldn't get it done. Like, Gillis, being a senior, having experience, and then you're going to get yourself in trouble and get a technical foul. Then you stop the clock. Then they shoot a free throw, and they get the ball back. So right there, that was a momentum of the game that was really against Duke. And after that, it was history. I mean, it kind of reminds me of when Duke made that huge historical comeback against Maryland at the Caulfield House. You remember that? I'm like, no way, no way. This is happening now to them. So, that's unfortunate because you only got 40 minutes to try to get to the finals to the final game, and you played really great throughout the whole game. Cooper Flagg, obviously, best player right now in college basketball. Unfortunately, that's just March Madness, man. That's how it works.
So now moving forward, right? This is Duke, right? The goal is to win a championship. You had arguably the most talented team in the country. Players come and go. This is now John Shire's program. Are you confident that John won't let this game define him and he'll be able to eventually break through and punch through one day and go get a national championship at Duke?
Well, I don't think he's gonna be way too far from winning a national championship. I mean, I think this guy, he's a professional. He knows what it takes. His mentor is probably the best college coach in the history of the game. So he got a great support system. I mean, it gotta hurt. I know it hurts so much because I know him that he's gonna get better. I mean, there were some decisions. I thought he called a timeout, like his last timeout. I thought he should have trusted the team a little more because they crossed half court and they were on the other side. I mean, meaning like in their offensive end. So he should have let them run the play instead of calling a timeout because they weren't having trouble getting the ball inbound. But I think Jump Shire is becoming one of the best coaches of the college game. So I truly feel like this, he's going to learn. His character is going to continue to build throughout his career. I think he's going to be fine, but I'm sure he's hurt right now. He got to be as much as I know how much he loved the game. I think his future is bright, but he just gotta, you know, you gotta pass the page, move on, and next year you gotta try to do it again.
Gravis Vasquez here with us, on behalf of Westwood One Sports, going to be on the call, the Spanish broadcast for the national championship tonight. You can tune in on Westwood One Sports app and also on westwoodonesports.com. Get into Florida. That was the tale of two halves. Auburn was sensational in the first half offensively, and they couldn't hit a shot in the second half. But, man, Walter Clayton Jr., that's when it starts and ends for Florida. And he's on one of those entertaining runs right now, and it's a joy to watch.
Well, Clayton Jr. is a shot maker. He can make shots. He can create his own shot. He can finish around the rim. And he also can do all this without turning the ball over. That's huge. And when you talk about the Florida Gators, you're talking about a complete team. I mean, what they do best is bench production. The guys coming off the bench, they just sustain the lead or expand the lead. So they got way too many tools offensively. They defend the ball, the basketball really well. They like half-court defense is good. Transition defense is good. I thought Alex Condon have to do a little bit better offensively. They're gonna need him tonight to score a little more. But he also had a tremendous challenge playing against Johnny Broom, a big center that can score against Auburn. Now you gotta play Roberts in the post, like this guy from Houston. He's really physical in the post. He can score with his back to the basket. So I really like the Gators. I think to me, it's the most talented team. I don't think they play. I mean, they are a team in the first half. Second half, they just turned that switch on. I mean, they really hard to guard. A lot of DHOs, misdirection plays, but one of the best defense, or probably the best defense, the best defensive team throughout the tournament, and then with the most physicality is the Houston Cougars. So it's going to be a really big-time Final Four. I mean, a big-time final.
Yeah, and also, Gravis Vasquez, the game is between these two teams. I don't care what the score is tonight. It's never over until it's over. Like, we're talking about what Duke just did with Houston. But even Florida in this tournament, they should have lost to UConn. They should have lost to Texas Tech. That's why I think this ends up being a slugfest that comes right down to the wire and you get a good game to call tonight.
And what about Maryland? You're going to leave my Terrapins? against Maryland, I remember watching that game. I mean, they scored 29 points off the bench. Bench production was 29. Our reserve got only 9 points. I mean, 3 points. I'm sorry. So I think you said it right. To me, the Gators, they haven't played a great game together. Like the first 20 minutes and the second half. They haven't put a game where like they wow from the beginning. And tonight, the first 5 minutes is going to be very important for the Gators, because one thing we learn about Houston, you can never question the heart of a champion. They want to win a championship. They're going to fight until the end. That's why I'm still shocked that Duke lost with like 6 points. Like they had a lead for 6 points in like what, 1 minute? Or
34 seconds.
34 seconds. That says a lot about the character of Houston. Like they're not done until they're done. So it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight tonight. And I'm looking forward to be right there calling the game in Spanish on Westwood One.
Yeah, and Gravis Vasquez here with us is a great job calling the games on Westwood One in Spanish. So we talked about Walter Clayton Jr. To me, if Florida wins, he's the story tomorrow. If Houston wins, I start with the coach in Kelvin Sampson. We know what he's done for a long time, was away from the sport with controversy for a few years, but took the right job in Houston, kind of built them back up. And we've seen him now dominate two conferences in the American Athletic Conference and now the Big 12. And he's dominating college basketball right now. So give me a few thoughts on Coach Sampson.
I absolutely agree with you. And I'm sorry not to mention him. You talk about Coach Sampson against Shire. I thought the experience of Coach Sampson was, you know, determined. And you got to give him a lot of credit. He kept fighting for his team. And I mean, everyone knows about him, everything that happened with him and what he's doing right now. I mean, I just feel like sometimes he don't get enough credit after everything he's done until like he's up to the stage. He is 40 minutes away to be a champion. And after like when that happened, when everything with college basketball happened with, and then he went to the NBA, the comeback, when he came back, Houston gave him the chance. I watched videos of him like going through campus, just offering tickets and
begging the fans and the students to come. Yeah,
that's huge. That's character. I'm huge with like people with character. That's character. He believes he can transform the program, and he's doing it. And I'm sure he is not fully satisfied. He wants to win tonight. A lot of credit. If I'm a young player, I would love to play for him. This guy is a player's coach, knows the game, really great experience. Everyone loved him. Walk around throughout the whole – I mean, he was walking around through practices and media. And, you know, I'm really huge with body language. And I always, like, as a former player, I always look up to my coach. If my coach, like send me when I was seeing my coach with confidence, I'm like, yes, and I can't be. I gotta go with confidence too. So he just shows so much confidence, so much, fire and passion that his players feed off of that, and that's why they play so hard for him. Because you always play for your coach. I mean, you love the name of the jersey in front of the jersey, but you're playing for your coach. And Coach Sampson is to me, doing what a lot of coaches cannot do it nowadays, and he's doing it. I mean, he transformed the whole basketball program for the Houston Cougars, and rightfully so. He's 40 minutes away from winning a national championship.
Well, I have a Maryland legend here. I got to ask you how things did go down with Kevin Willard, as now he's the head coach at Villanova. What did you make of all that the last week or two?
Well, that's a good question, man. You know, as much as I respect Coach Willard, I thought he didn't address the questions about Villanova throughout the tournament properly. I wanted to hear him saying, like, hey, it's about Maryland basketball right now. I'm trying to win a national championship. So after I'm done with the tournament, focusing on Maryland basketball, then I'll address, you know, whatever you guys want me to address. Right now, it's about Maryland. And I felt like betrayed because that he betrayed us because we have a lot of respect. We love what he did. He did a great job. We just wanted him to be professional. And you know what? It happens. I don't have any knock on him going somewhere else. If he felt like going there, it was going to be better for him. That's cool. I got no problem. But I at least address he shouldn't address properly in terms of like respecting our program and what's ahead. But right now, we are excited about Buzz Williams, what he's bringing to the table, his leadership, what he has done in the past. This guy is a winner, a great leader. He's going to bring a great staff. We're excited about what the future holds for us as a Terrapins. So we'll see. I'm going to be looking forward to, you know, obviously support our basketball program, the Maryland basketball program, and being around the program because I really love college basketball, man. I love doing this.
Well, hey, it was a great answer and appreciate the honesty there. Last thing I'll ask you, just because when I think of you and I hear your name, and I remember your college career, the first word that comes to mind is electrifying. So how do you look back at your legendary run with Maryland?
Well, it was the best 4 years of my life. I can never forget that. Every time I'm calling Final Fours and watching college players, you know, don't waste any time. I know a lot of young players are listening to us, watching us right now. It goes by so fast, man. I'm 38, and I was able to be – my last college game was against Michigan State to go to Elite Eight. And Corey Lucius just hit an unbelievable three-point shot that I still remember like it was yesterday. And it went by so fast, and it passed fast. So being ACC Player of the Year, Bob Cousy Award, and I, you know, as much as I loved the game, I just missed being on the floor and helping. So now I'm thinking now, you know, since I'm more involved or like on the broadcasting side, like maybe eventually coaching and develop players because I really like to mentor players, especially young players. Because a lot of, you know, looking back to my career, I was always doubted. Like, oh, he's not really athletic. Is he gonna play in the ACC? Is he gonna make it to the NBA? Well, my third year in the league, my junior year in the NBA, I led the whole league in assists. So, I just, you know, preparation, work ethic, professionalism and the love for the game. You really have to work hard. And in nowadays, imagine how much money I would have made. Yeah. NIL.
You would have made a lot of money. Stuff. So, hot take. You would have made a lot of money, my friend.
I'm happy. I'm thankful, and I'm here, man. I'm still loving the game. I love the game so much. I'm always trying to get better, and calling the games in Spanish is just connecting with my community, with my Latin community as well. Not only in Maryland, but all around the country, and obviously from my home country, Venezuela, and whole Latin America, which, you know, it's a lot of basketball there, a lot of young players that are coming here to the United States, going to high school, junior college, and D1 school. So I'm just glad that I went to Maryland, man, and ACC Player of the Year. That no one is going to take that away from me.
I love the enthusiasm. And if you want to listen to Gravis Vasquez on the call tonight on the Spanish call for the national championship game, Westwood One Sports app and westwoodonesports.com. Gravis Vasquez, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
You got it. There he is. Gravis Vasquez joining us. We'll come on back. We'll give you a prediction on the Natty tonight. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Christopher from Little Rock says, Zach, who do you guys have tonight in the national championship game? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, let's go around the room here to wrap up the show. We'll start off with Stu, who is wearing a Final Four quarter zip right now that you got in San Antonio.
I did. I saw it and I had to get it.
I'll tell you, I had to prevent myself yesterday from just spending in just a stupid way. Because I got what I thought was a very nice shirt that I wore on the show Friday. You know, Final Four March Madness kind of shirt. And I kept on, because yesterday, like after the breakfast ended that I was emceeing for the NABC, I had nothing to do. And a lot of the people that I knew were already gone or they were working on the production for the broadcast tonight. So I just walked around San Antonio yesterday. You know, went to the Alamo, did the whole tour there. You know, remember the Alamo, obviously. And then I went through store after store after store after store and was just looking and looking. And the teams that lost, and like I like Auburn because of Bruce Pearl, all the gear was 50% off. And there were other cool Final Four shirts, but I was a good boy. I got one shirt. They're like crazily priced. Tomorrow you go there, they'll be all half off. And that's what happens at the Super Bowl too. So I did a good job preventing those temptations yesterday of just spending like a drunken sailor yesterday. But that's a nice little quarter zip that you got going on there. All right.
Thank you.
What's your prediction on the game? Stu's going with Pinkerton's barbecue and then Whataburger. That's what he's going to end up doing.
That is my championship.
Well, that should make one shining moment tonight. When the ball is tipped, like just have Stu picking out at Pinkerton's and then 25 minutes later going to Whataburger and slamming a burger down his gullet. Oh, my God. How did you move that? How did you get up for the flight the next day?
It was interesting. I'll say that.
Little problem in the bathroom?
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. I was fine.
Little issue in the bathroom, I heard. All righty. What's the pick here for the game tonight and why?
I like the Houston story, but I'm just so impressed by Florida, and I just think Walter Clayton Jr. is just such a difference maker, and I think he will continue to do that tonight, and I think Florida wins.
Samter?
I've been wrong about everything else. I had Duke and Auburn in the finals here, so I might as well go against the grain. I'm going to go Houston here. Florida's been playing great. They won the SEC tournament. They just beat Auburn, so it's hard to pick against them, but what Houston did against Duke, that kind of momentum can carry over. It's a talented team. It's a senior team.
Say what you want to say.
I think that they're just gritty.
No. There's a certain term that before it happens, people say it, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Team of destiny. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
No. I don't feel like they're a team of destiny. I feel like they're a team with heart and grit, and they're a team that will never give up. I feel like as long as they can contain some early blows from Clayton and Martin, that they'll be able to move on and kind of keep it close enough. And I think in a close, tight game, Houston has that kind of je ne sais quoi, that little extra, we don't know what it is, but that little something extra that I think they'll be able to pull it off.
So I'm looking at Houston this year when they played SEC opponents. Auburn, they lost 74-69. That was back on November 9th. They lost to Alabama on November 26, 85-80 in overtime. So it's not like they can't hang with the SEC.
And they crushed Tennessee.
Yeah, well, I was just going through the schedule, and I was going to get to the Tennessee part, obviously.
I got there faster.
Well, it was remarkable. They ran them off the court. So I'm just looking. You know, those are the only three. I'm just making sure I didn't miss anyone. I believe there's the only three SEC teams that they played all year. And you're right. They destroyed Tennessee 69-50. Rick Barnes in the NCAA tournament. Nothing would shock me in this one. I really feel like this could go either way. I'm not betting against the most entertaining player in college basketball right now. I'm taking Walter Clayton Jr. I'm taking Florida. The way that I thought about this tournament going into it was Duke was the most talented team, but Florida was playing the best. So if Houston wins tonight, I know that Duke choked the game, but I don't want to hear about Duke choking the game or, you know, us trying to take away from Houston. If Houston finds a way to prevail here at the Final Four, and they're the last team standing tonight in front of that home crowd, which, by the way, that's going to be a big Houston crowd tonight. There's a ton of Florida Gators fans that were there. You know, that fan base, they're passionate. Right, we know what they did in the early 2000s. You know, earlier on with Billy Donovan, but there's gonna be a lot of fans that'd be driving, especially with the Duke fans selling their tickets because they didn't get there and Duke choked. You know this, that those tickets are gonna get sold and the Houston fans are gonna be loud and they're gonna be proud tonight. But if Houston could find a way, they already slayed Duke, and they beat Florida, man. That's an that is just the icing on the cake for the tremendous Kelvin Sampson story. But I just think Walter Clayton Jr. will be too much. I think he's going to be on fire. You have Elijah Martin, then Haw too. We'll do their part. I'm going Florida tonight. Score-wise. What do I want to go score-wise? I'm going to say 77-70. 77-70. I think Florida is going to beat Houston, be a close game, and then Florida pulls away late. They hit a three-pointer or two to ice it with Walter Clayton Jr. 77-70 Florida.
I mean, you're going against Jim Nance. Got the Jim Nance mojo there for Houston.
I actually was texting with Jim the other day. I said, I'm just going to say this, Jim. Houston look like a different team once they put you on the scoreboard late.
I'm just saying.
Look like a different team.
Maybe team of destiny is the right term.
And I said, I still can't believe what Houston did. He goes, same. He goes, it doesn't even feel real. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. So Jim will be going from, where we've heard this before, the national championship game to Augusta for a tradition unlike any other. The only difference is he's a fan tonight. And then, obviously, he'll be calling the Masters once again later on in the week. Oh, hello, friends. Jim Nance here. As we're getting ready for another phenomenal finish at Augusta, a tradition unlike any other. Ooh, hello, friends.
I just hope he doesn't scream his voice out for the Masters.
I think it'd be actually pretty cool. You just have to whisper then.
That's what he does for the Masters anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Jim could enjoy himself. When is your team going to be back in the national championship game? Could be next year, could be never. Big thanks to Dusty May for joining us. Big thanks to Gravis Vasquez. Big thanks to each and every one of you. Samther, Stu, Ack. Everyone watching, listening, interacting with the show, tweeting, calling. We'll be back tomorrow. Paddy Pimblett is going to join us before his big fight for the UFC this weekend in Miami. And also we'll recap a little game being played tonight in San Antonio. I think they call it the national championship game. Ooh, onions! All righty, we'll catch you tomorrow, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We out. Bye-bye. Give me a Bill Raffer onions tonight. Peace!